Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Well, praise the Lord, the one who was and is to come. Glory to God. The Ancient of Days. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that, y'all. Amen. Brings back good memories. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all are too young, I guess, to remember Ron Canole. How many don't know Ron Canole? Okay. Or you're just not telling me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yep. So, praise God. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for your envelopes, your expressions of love and appreciation that I received last week. I thank you so much for that. It always gives me an extra shot. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shot in the arm makes me keep on going. Give me some energy. Praise God. Give me some more fuel. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It adds on to the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you ready to get into the words? Good to see everybody today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amorek? Well, both of you. You and Robert. Can you come up here? I told you I'd call you one day. I just want them to share with you how God works in our lives, spiritually, physically, and financially. So you want to just share with the congregation what the Lord paid off for you, what he did for you? Yep. So.
I'm loud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could use a mic. You're not that loud. Except when you're yelling at Robert. Yeah, press that button. Is the light on? Hold it. Did you press it? Did the light come on?
Yes.
Okay.
So when our daughter lived with us, she passed away in 2023, we incurred a very, very high electric bill. How much?
About $12,000.
$12,000 because of all her medical equipment.
Can you imagine?
I wasn't working. My husband wasn't working. And we said, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but we trust you. They kept sending shut-off notices and shut-off notices and shut-off notices, and they never shut it off. The gas bill was $3,000. Somewhere around $3,000. When...
I don't know, make something up.
No,
I'm just kidding. Who was here? Who was here for the, the concert. Concert? Brown. Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown. Mm-hmm. When I bought my ticket, my husband was going to serve. And so he didn't buy a ticket because he said, I'll just stand. But when we got here, Minister Allen said, no, my husband said, they don't need me to serve, so I'm going to go sit in the car. And Minister Allen said, no, I'm going to buy your ticket. So he came in. And then the following week, my husband said to Pastor Connie, he said, Pastor Connie, I know there was money that needed to be set off for the concert, so I'm going to sow a seed. And he sowed a seed. And the following week, we got a notice from PSC&G, that my bill for the month of August was $7. My gas and electric was $7. The electric was $7 from $12,000. And my $3,000 gas bill was $13.49. I promise you. Don't matter what it looks like, keep tithing, keep tithing, keep tithing, keep sowing seed, and yeah. watch God move.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, y'all. Thank you for sharing that. Praise God. See? Ancient of Days will come through for you. Amen. I just wanted y'all to hear that. I didn't want it to go too much time to go by before they shared that. But God is awesome. He's faithful, right? God is, I think last week I said God isn't just rich in mercy. He's rich. And he knows how to make things disappear. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's called debt cancellation. Amen? Anybody believe in God for debt cancellation? Yep. He'll do it. He'll do it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you, as usual, for this day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have planned for each one of us today. Father, I pray that we would raise our expectations to see you, to hear you, to watch you do something in our lives today. Father, let our faith go out, our faith in you and your love and kindness and mercy. Father, we just thank you that you're always, always watching out for us. Father, we ask that you would bless this service, bless this day. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, iPads, cell phones, why don't you lift them up? Praise the Lord. All right. So we're shifting. We're shifting this thing from just paper to the Word of God. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. Say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Say, it will lift me up out of darkness into the light, out of poverty into wealth, out of sickness into health. Say, this day, after hearing and receiving the ever-living, the everlasting Word of God, I will never be the same again. Never, 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 never. Never, ever, ever, ever will I be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a fist bump or a high five or something. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to, I started last week on talking about the rest of God, and we looked at the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, it talks about sitting, it talks about walking, and it talks about standing. And so what I had shared last week, what we saw in the Word of God, that we need to sit first. It's funny how we always want to work, don't we? You know, the world gives achievement awards. They give trophies. They give different kinds of expressions for doing things. But in the kingdom of God, even though we have to be doers of the word, we shouldn't be so focused on what we can, how we can perform and what we can produce in order to be blessed by God. Amen? And so, just starting right off, God did all the work. He did all the work. Say that. Say, God did all the work for me. So we talked about how God created the world in 6 days, right? Then at the end of the sixth day, he created Adam and Eve. And then the seventh day, he rested. So what he did, he made the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve. He set it all up, right? According to the Bible, God set the whole garden up. Everything was fully functioning. All they had to do is go in and just watch it produce, tend to it, take care of it. He gave Adam a job. to take care of the garden. Amen. Everybody knows a man needs a job, right? That was weak. Amen. So, but the point is, God finished everything in 6 days, and then he put Adam and Eve into his finished work. So God is a finisher. God, he has the whole plan. He's got the eternal plan. So he hooked them up, and then he put them into a situation where all they had to do is trust God and to work paradise. And then Jesus Christ, of course, he came, and then he had to, his assignment was to fulfill the plan of redemption, which was to justify us, to bring us salvation. Amen? So he did his part. He did his role. That's why on the cross he said, "It is finished," meaning that he did everything that was required for you and me to be redeemed, to be saved, to be set free from our sins, to walk in freedom, to walk in wholeness, to walk in prosperity, to walk under the blessing. Jesus already did it. So when we come into the kingdom, we have to be careful not to, you know, when we get born again, if you remember when you got born again, you get excited. It's like, I can't believe this is really happening. I can't believe that salvation was so easy, right? Wasn't salvation easy? It was. And to the point where we could almost not believe that it was so easy. But we were happy. We were excited. You know, we were telling people that we were saved, how we had met the Lord and had a relationship with him. And then somewhere along the line, we got the idea, probably once you join a church or something, listen to other people, we start thinking that we have to work. It's no longer a free gift according to grace, right? It's no longer a free gift. Now all of a sudden we thought we had to earn it and start working for God. But God doesn't need anybody working for him. We also, last week I also brought up the story of the prodigal son, right? And how the son, the older son, the man had two sons. One took all of his inheritance and left and spent it all. And then he found himself in a pig pen. Amen. Sometimes I pray with people, I tell them, Lord, let them end up in a pig pen. Lord, thank you. The devil can't kill them. But sometimes you got to go low before you go high. So, you know, especially if people are stubborn. But when he came home, the father was looking for him. He looked for him practically every day. But the son that stayed home, which was the older son, he got upset because the father celebrated the wayward son, the one that spent all of his money and then came back home. And so he put the robe on him, killed the fatted calf, you know, had a big party. And then, but the older son, he said, Lord, I've been here. He basically was saying, I've been here working for you all along. He, my brother, he wouldn't even call him his brother. He said he was out there wasting and living wild. But the father was so happy to see his son come back home. He said it was proper. It was fitting that we celebrate. Amen? And it made me think how God feels the same way about us when we get born again. We were wayward. We were wasting time, wasting money, wasting our gifts. And then we got born again, and we came back home. We came home to the Father. And so it would help us if we keep that thought and realizing that God still celebrates us. You know, the world, of course, we celebrate people 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 times a year. But we need to have the attitude that God celebrates us every day. Whenever he looks at us, whenever he thinks about us, he's still excited. Tell somebody, God is still excited about you. through your ups and downs, through your wrongs and your rights. Amen? So, you know, I always think of, you know, you just look at a baby and say, oh, my baby, oh, you know. God looks at us like that. He loves us. We came from him. And so he loves us because we're a part of him. And we have his Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have his son, the spirit of his son living on the inside of us. And we're a part of him and a part of his family. So aren't you glad God celebrates you? So I said all that to say, we need to remember that God did all the work. He finished it. And when the Bible talks about resting, he's talking about us relaxing and realizing the finished work. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Is my water up here? Do I sound thirsty? I feel thirsty. All right. I'll read. Okay, good. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace. But even there, Paul's calling them saints. You're a saint. I'm a saint. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read the rest with me. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us, somebody say, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So God had a plan. Again, God doesn't make things up as he goes along. He already had a plan. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So that's two things so far. He's blessed us. Verse 3 says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let me say this. The reason why we want to sit, we need to sit and find out what we have in Christ. We need to find out what Christ has already finished for us. Amen? We need to find out why we're here and what God's done for us. So that means we have to go after the finished work of Christ and pull it into our reality. We have to find out what the finished work is. The scripture says that God finished the world before the found, or he created the world. No, what is it? Since before the foundation of the world. So God already planned us. He planned the earth. He already planned how to take care of us. He already planned how to provide for us. He already planned what we would do, who we would be, who we would touch, who we would bless. Amen? And so he already had a plan. So it's up to us to just to find out what that is. You know, when it's recommended when people join Living Faith that you sit for a while so that you can observe to see what's already going on here, right? So you can watch and you see what's happening, you see what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and then that way, by the time you decide to put your hand to the plow, put it to the work, you know what is going on, what's happening. You understand that? So when we find out what God has provided for us, then we can flow in what he has already finished. Amen? I don't know about you, but I thank God that he finished everything. Amen? So when we came on the scene, God already had a plan. Praise God. Amen. So we don't have to be jealous of anybody. We don't have to be concerned about anything. Because he already has a plan. He already has a plan. Psalm 139, I think it says that God has already gone into our future, got everything out the way that would prevent us. He already took care of our past, right? So we don't need our past hindering us. We don't need to be concerned or fretting over the future because he has a good plan. Amen? Were we finished reading that? I think so. Verse 6. So we see that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Of course, we've been given faith. How do we get those blessings out of the heavenlies, out of the spiritual places? Can you imagine everything? Can you imagine everything that God planned for all of us if it was like all around us? It would be pretty crowded. So we receive as we learn to live by faith, as we develop our trust in God, and then we use our faith to pull those things out, all those spiritual blessings out of the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm, into our natural realm. Amen? And that is doable because God has given us faith to do that. Faith is what goes in and gets it. Or we send our faith out, we release our faith, and then our faith brings it back to us. Amen? So, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So, Jesus already, he already took care of the blood. Nothing happens without the blood. Sin requires payment of blood. And so, Jesus paid that price. Amen? So, he took care of that. Because we couldn't do that either. Amen? Again, he already finished everything. So we see here we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We've been accepted in the beloved. That's important to most of us, especially if you've ever felt like you were rejected or abandoned or you weren't wanted at some point in your life. Somebody treated you badly, sent you away, you know. But we need to know that we're accepted in the beloved. And until we come from under our parents' jurisdiction, we have no other authority besides God now. So nobody else can determine our future. Nobody can determine whether we get blessed or not blessed because we are under God's jurisdiction. Amen? He's our loving boss. Amen? And provider. Praise God. And so we have to sit and learn what God has already provided. Let me see. I have a lot of scripture here. I want to read some other things. Verse 15 in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Amen? So it's not about our power and what we can do. It's about his mighty power, his supernatural power. Verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him. Here we go. We're talking about sitting. Here God calls Jesus to sit, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. Then chapter 2, I'll read a couple verses from there. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. Verse 9 says, not of works. So I entitled today, exchanging our labor for his labor. Tell the person next to you, say, stop working so hard. Start resting. Start resting. I think last week I said, sometimes we're just so uptight. Anybody know any uptight Christians? I could call myself uptight. Yeah. What's happening? Yeah. So sometimes we're just so uptight that we can't even see what's in plain sight that God has already done for us. Amen? So God raised up Jesus, seated him in heavenly places. Then he sat us with Jesus in heavenly places because we died with him, we rose with him, and now we're seated with him. We're seated with him because we're in Christ, right? We get the credit for being in Christ. We didn't do nothing except salvation. He did everything. Jesus did everything. We just walk right into the Garden of Eden. Amen? Tell the person next to you, believe it or not, you're in the Garden of Eden. You're in your promised land. The scripture talks about rest. We'll go there in Hebrews chapter 4. How God, there still remains a rest. So sitting, relaxing, chilling. Sitting means you're relaxed. Sitting means you're relying on something else to cause you to be relaxed. So we're supposed to be sitting. We're supposed to be relaxing, amen, and resting in what God has already done for us. Let's look at, did I give y'all Hebrews chapter 4? I think I did. Hebrews chapter 4. And while they're putting that up, Colossians 1:13 or verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us already to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm just trying to read to y'all everything that he has done. He has done. He has delivered us. He has raised us up with Christ. He has redeemed us. He has blessed us. God is a has God. It's already done. So for us to work to save ourselves, to improve ourselves, to get us brownie points with God, it's not happening because he's already done it. Amen? So we really need to understand that. Because we always want to work. We always want to achieve, especially you organizers. I love organizers. But we don't have to work for the blessings of God. Amen? There is a calling that we have. We do have an assignment, right? But we're not supposed to be struggling to make things happen. So that means when we need to pay a bill, or we have a bill, when we have debt, hey, God already knows you don't have the money to do it, right? God already knows you need a job. God already knows you need food. God already knows you need a car. God already knows you need an apartment or a house. You need a place to live. He already knows that. But we have to learn how to sit and rest in the fact that he's going to take care of it. Right? So we don't have to work ourselves to the bone. You know, sometimes I tell God, God, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I need you to help me. I need you to help me. I'm getting overwhelmed. I can't do this. And then he honors childlike faith. How many of you know your kids don't ask you, can you afford that? You know, you really going to buy it for me? I'm going to get you a bike, honey. Do you have the money? Or, you know, where are you going to buy it? You sure you aren't going to run out of bikes in the store? You going to get there on time? Am I going to have it by Saturday? You know, all those types of things. But kids, they just believe right away. They believe right away. Amen? So we need to believe God right away. All right, let's look at Hebrews 4. Try to speed things up. So God is a has-done God. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, read that with me, wake y'all up. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. He's talking about the children in the desert. The children of Israel in the desert. They complained. God said, I've given you the land. But they insisted on, they still had a servant mentality, right? They still had a slave mentality. So you and I, we have to develop a son mentality, a beloved mentality, right? A kingdom mentality that God has already provided for us. He's already done everything. We just can't see it. But we have to see it by faith. We have to see it by faith, by the word of God. What he tells us in the word. We can count on what God tells us. Amen? All right, let's keep reading. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with what? So we have to take the word of God and mix it with something called faith, right? Which is our believing. We are capable of believing, but faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if we're just a casual Bible reader, faith won't come because we're not hearing and hearing. We have to see the word. We have to meditate on the word of God, right? So that it becomes alive to us. Amen? So, but it says that they heard the word of God, but they didn't mix the word of God and the promise of God with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. So when we believe, talking about sitting, finding out what God's already prepared, right? For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although, and we don't want to make this mistake, although the works were finished, my path was finished, my destiny was finished, right? Plans and purposes were finished from the foundation of the world, right? Tell somebody, I'm not waiting for nothing because God's already finished it. So how many verses did I give you? Did I give y'all past 4? And again in this place, okay, And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Anybody want to enter into the rest of God? The verses also say that there still remains a rest for the people of God. That's talking about us. They didn't enter in, but God wants us to enter in to the rest, to being seated with Christ, being cool and chill, and having faith in what God has already planned for us, right? We want to walk in that, okay? We want to see that come to pass. Praise the Lord. All right, there's something I want to do today. I'm going to kind of mess with you. I'm always focused on us doing better. So let me just say this. In order for us to successfully walk in Christ. Ephesians tells us to walk. It's talking about walking. Walking means to go about. Walking means to demonstrate your life and demonstrate who you are. So once we learn how to sit, once we learn our position in Christ, that we're seated with him, the way we're seated with him, 1 Corinthians, it says that we are the body of Christ and he is the head. So if the head is seated in heavenly places, then the body's seated in heavenly places. So that's why we're seated with him in heavenly places, because he's the head and we are the body. He's the head of the body. Amen? And why did I say that? So that we can walk. So we sit. We sit, we find out what God's already prepared so that we can get up and walk, right? Sitting, learning how to sit, learning how to rest, that God's already got us. He already has a plan. It's cool. Everything's going to work out fine. Even when we bump into challenges, everybody goes through tests and trials. The scripture says, no temptation takes you, but such is common to man. So whatever happens to us is common to man. It's not the first time for us, even though we feel like it. Might be the first time for us, but it's not the first time for man. Right? So we have to go through that because we have to grow. We have to become resilient. We have to be able to bounce back, right? If we don't bounce back from situations, from tests and trials and challenges, if we don't bounce back, we're going to revert. We're going to go backwards. So we have to push through. We have to continue to believe God when things aren't going our way. Amen? So that our faith muscles can increase, right? So that God can take us to the next thing in him, right? We start off as a baby Christian. He's just trying to help us just get into this thing, being a son of God. But then we got to get more muscles so he can do more and give us more. So we don't want to get stuck, you know? We have to remember that. God wants us to be able to bounce back. Tell somebody, you need to learn how to bounce back. Right? Bouncing back will keep us alive. It'll keep us alive. We can't go backwards. And the enemy, you know, he knows more than us sometimes. He's been around for a long time. And he can look at us and listen to us and see that we're a threat to him. And so he'll try to mess with us so that we don't follow through on God's plan. But in Jesus' name, we're going to follow through. When we leave this earth, we're going to have fulfilled everything that God had for us. In Jesus' name. Amen? Praise the Lord. So no casual Christians. No casual Christians. So we see in Hebrews 4 that there remains a rest. God wants us to rest in him and rest in his finished work. God's got this. We have to know that. But I also realize, I'm always conscious that because of the way that we grew up, the way that we think, that there's always something that we have to get out of the way. There's always some obstacle. There's always some flawed way in the way we think. People have said things to us. The reason why I said earlier that God is our authority. Some Christians grew up with an authority speaking poorly over you, right? Almost cursing you. But they're no longer your authority. So therefore, you don't any longer have to honor their words. Because God says that you're beloved. God says that he has a plan for you, a good plan and a good future. So we just leave those old authority voices in our past and we just listen to God. Tell somebody, just listen to God. Only what he thinks matters. Only what he thinks matters. And again, that's why it's good to be part of a church so that we can hear each other. We speak the same things. We develop the same mind, and that way we can build each other up, catch each other when we see each other falling or failing or getting discouraged, right? So, but God is our authority, and the word is our authority. So I want us to see something. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Amen. I want you to see something. Praise the Lord. And it's regarding the finished work of Christ. Let's read that. Surely he has borne or carried our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him, talking about Jesus, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment so that we could have peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Let's look at verse 10. Yeah. Yet it pleased. Listen to this. So we know the story of Jesus. He went through a lot. He went through a horrible death, right? And it says here in verse 10, it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the labor that we should be doing, the work that we should be working at or doing, is to labor, to work. If you're going to work, work on getting into the rest. So that's constant. That's a daily thing. We have to push through to do that, right? Every day we got to chill. Wait a minute. God's got this. God sees me. He knows me. He loves me, right? And so if we're going to labor, we need to labor every day to enter into that rest and not come out of it, right? Not all the frantics, right? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Anybody ever suffer grief? Anybody ever suffer sorrow? He carried it. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin. Let me read that again. When he made Jesus' soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. Verse 11, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the what? He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Somebody say, Jesus labored in his soul. Now, Matthew 8:17 says that Jesus, that people, they brought Jesus, sick people, and it says that so that it might be fulfilled, what was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet, he took their infirmities. That word infirmities, it means weakness or sickness of the soul and the body. So the point that I want to make is Jesus did everything completely. He didn't just come to heal our bodies. He didn't just come that our spirit man might be saved. He came for our mind, our will, and our emotions. And it says, put that back up there. It says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Somebody say, the labor of Jesus' soul. So Jesus worked. Jesus suffered in his soul. Jesus was traumatized. Can you imagine? Now, like, we all have different things that happen to us, and they call it trauma. And it's affected us for years, right? Unless we forgive ourselves, forgive the person, and then let God heal us and move on. But Jesus, now the Bible says that sin wounds the soul. So when you sin, when I sin, that wounds our soul. When somebody sins against us, that wounds our soul. And it's very sneaky. That's why we can have weird habits. That's why we can have diseases, right? Because all those things that aren't righteousness, they wound our mind, our will, and our emotions, and it makes us weird. Now, I'm not talking about real weird, but it affects us. So what we want to do is look at this scripture and see that he shall see the labor of his soul, talking about God looking upon Jesus, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Somebody say, I'm justified. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. There was a spoil. There was something won when Jesus went through this, when he went to the cross. And it says, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he what? He poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, I think. And he bore the sin of many. Somebody say, I was included. And he made intercession for the transgressors. Let's go back to the first part of verse 12. So we see that God looked upon Jesus and that he saw the labor of his soul. So I entitled today, Exchanging Our Labor for His Labor. Jesus suffered. Jesus was traumatized. But unlike us, he stayed perfect. He didn't allow his trauma to affect his spirit and to affect his soul. We, on the other hand, sin affects our soul. It affects our mind, our will, and our emotions. But Jesus, because he was the perfect Lamb of God, he suffered trauma, crown on his head. Who knows what they did to him in prison? They beat him, right? They pulled the beard out of his face. He went through stuff before he went to the cross, right? Yet and still, he remained faithful and he remained righteous. So what he did, now that was necessary, because John chapter, let me find my verse. Mark 2:27. If you remember the scripture, Mark 2:27, where the religious people were talking to Jesus. No, that's not the right one. It's the scripture where, Hold up. It was John 15 when Jesus said, in the Amplified version, when Jesus said, Satan's coming, and he called him the evil genius, he's told the people, I can't spend much time with you right now because Satan's coming, the evil genius. That's why we can't do anything without the Lord. Who can compete against an evil genius, right? Although we have authority over him, we can't rely on ourselves. We need the help of Christ. But he said, the evil genius comes, and he has nothing in me. Remember, Jesus was traumatized. When we're traumatized, it does something to us, whether we know it or not. It affects us. That's just the way sin is, right? That's why we need to repent to get that stuff off of us. Repent right away before it makes us sick, you know, or makes us fail and have a whole bunch of trouble. We just need to, if we sin, we need to ask God for his forgiveness. We need to repent and let him clean us up of all unrighteousness. If somebody sins against us, we have to forgive them so that we can be healed of our trauma. So we need to stop wasting time not forgiving people and just let them go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to be sick. It's not worth it to be diseased. Matthew 18, it's not worth it to be tormented. God said, I'll turn you over to the tormentors if you don't forgive. Right? It's not worth it. Right? But so he said, the evil one cometh and he has nothing in me. Jesus was the only one who was traumatized and it didn't affect his spirit and his soul. So now what God is saying here in Isaiah, not only did Jesus heal us of our physical sickness and diseases, he healed us. He poured out his soul. Somebody say, he poured out his perfect soul so that we could exchange his perfect soul for our traumatized soul. Somebody say, we have to make that exchange. We have to, you don't have to repeat this. We have to recognize what he did so that we don't stay stuck in our trauma. Remember, I said earlier this year that I'm in agreement, but I heard a prophet say, which agree with my spirit, that this is the year we need to be healed finally of our trauma. So we can stop being traumatized. We can stop being bitter. We can stop being tormented. Right? We can stop suffering. We can just do it. We just need to do it. Tell the person next to you, you just need to do it. Why would we hold on to all these hurts when Jesus poured out his perfect soul so that we could exchange our sick souls for his perfect soul? Somebody say, that's a fix. Talking about a big fix, right? He maintained his soul. He's the only one. He fulfilled all the law. He didn't not fulfill any of the laws of God when he was here. I heard that we talk about the Ten Commandments, but if you really research it, there was like 600 and some. No wonder we needed a Savior. But he never sinned against the Father. Amen? And so Jesus poured out his soul so we could make an exchange for our sick soul. Anybody want to be healed in their soul? In your mind, your will, and emotions? Today? And not spend one more day, like they said, let me spend one more day with the frogs. Let me spend one more day with the lice. That's somebody say, that's crazy. And so if we want to ditch the curse, if we want to ditch failure, if we want to prosper in God, we're going to have to make that exchange. Amen? So we'll stop being mad and sad and bad because it's holding up our progress. God's saying, you're not going nowhere further until you do this. Amen? Amen. Tell the person next to you, say, just do it. So somebody did something bad to us. Somebody said something to us that affected us. We need to leave that in the past once and for all. And we need to receive healing in our soul, in our mind, our will, and emotions so that we can be whole, so that we can rest, so that we can walk, and so that we can stand. When we are sick in our souls, we cannot stand against the enemy because we're partying with him. Amen? Anybody want to party with the devil? Anybody want to be on his side? Choose sides. Whose side will you be on? Baal's or the Lord's? We're going to be on the Lord's side. So that means we can't act like the devil. That means we can't stay in bitterness and unforgiveness and all that stuff like the devil does. Because that gives him place in our lives. That gives him territory. He can take our territory. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want everything that's coming to me according to God's plan. Amen? So stop staying stuck in your trauma. When Satan comes, don't let him find anything in you. Don't let him find bitterness in you. Don't let him find unforgiveness in you. Don't let him find fear in you. That's what he comes looking for. Did I say bitterness? Yes. You can't be fearful. You can't be angry, right? You can't still say, oh, I'm just so rejected. I'm just so rejected. You know, when I was growing up, and I've had to deal with this being a Christian. Growing up, I was the middle child. And so there must be some truth. I just got lost in the sauce. There was two older, two younger, and I don't know. I can't even remember half of my childhood. I don't know where I was. But somehow I got traumatized. I'm serious. My sister, Marcia, you know, she would get upset with me sometime because I wouldn't remember certain things. Hey, look, I don't know whether I blanked it out or what. You know, nothing horrible happened to me, but I don't know where I was. So anyway, I grew up thinking that I was always at a disadvantage. That other people always had an advantage over me. So that meant no matter what I tried, why try? Because somebody's going to do better than me. Amen? So I had to deal with that. How many of you know that's going to hold you back? God can't use me thinking like that. Because he's my source. Because he already finished my life. He already has the plan. He already has the provision, right? So it's the same thing for you. However you think, that's not righteous. That's not right. That's going to hold you back. And that's why we need to get rid of it. Amen? Amen? Praise God. All right, I want you to stand. I'm just in here. And so I think I shared with you before that we have to, now I'm believing God that we get healed of some things today, that we release some people, we release bad experiences, right? We release our past that's been holding us back. But there's something else about trauma that happens in a human being. When you experience trauma somewhere, no matter how subtle, no matter how horrible, somewhere you want to pacify yourself. And it makes you put other things before God. You can look at your time. How much time do you spend doing something? And it's more time than you spend with God. Look at your money. Look at your bank account. Where's your money going? And is your money going out more than what you give God and the kingdom? Amen? So when we self-medicate, you know, let's say you've been traumatized. So you want to pacify yourself. And so you always spend the money. You spend the money you don't have. Right? And then when you make something an idol because God said, have no other gods before me, then that idol, whether it's eating, money, gambling, pornography, whatever it is, now you're subject to that idol. And idols can make you crippled. It can make you mentally ill. It can make you have an idol because they have permission, because they know, they see you're not, that we're not trying to get medicated from God and his word. We're trying to medicate with outside things. And we open the door. And we give Satan place. But we're not going to go there today. I just wanted to share that with you. So let's just remember the scripture in Isaiah, verse 12, 11 and 12 mostly, that Jesus, he labored through his soul so that we could be whole, so that we don't have to labor, right? He poured out his soul for us, and it was a perfect soul. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was bleeding, when he was sweating blood, that's when he took on our sins. It says he poured out his soul, right? But he did it so that we could make the exchange. So now, today, we just want to believe God to exchange his perfect soul for our traumatized, messed up soul. It sounds like a good deal, right? Amen. All right, so just repeat this after me. Say, in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say this. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to speak this over y'all. In the name of Jesus, I drive out the darkness caused by trauma, God, in your people today. In the name of Jesus. Trauma, spirit of trauma, I command you to leave. You leave the people of God right now. Now, I want you to hold up your hands. You leave God's people right now in the name of Jesus. Now say this. Say, God, I surrender every trauma, every fear, every form of bitterness, every feeling of rejection, every feeling of abandonment, every feeling of abuse, every feeling of unjust works against me. I surrender every trauma, every doubt, every memory of everything and everyone that has ever done anything to me. Say, I cast it out of me onto Christ, and I pull into me Christ's offering of his soul. I exchange his perfect soul for my traumatized and sick soul. I accept that holy exchange right now in Jesus' name. Say, Jesus' perfect soul is now mine. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, do it by faith. Do it by faith. Do it by faith. The word is true. God is not a man that he lies. The word is true. Hallelujah. Everything Jesus did for us. Everything he did for us. He did nothing for himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say, in Jesus' name, I receive my healing. I receive my freedom. I'm no longer traumatized. I will no longer be held back. I will make progress. I will move forward. I receive my physical healing. I receive my mental healing. I receive healing in my mind, my will, and my emotions. In Jesus' name, come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm determined that when you come to church, something happens. I'm not here. I don't consider myself eloquent of speech. I'm not trying to be famous. I'm just trying to help the people of God. Hallelujah. And if two of you got healed today, that would make me happy. I'd rather be more. But just continue to say that. To tell Jesus you exchange your wounded soul for his perfect soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you can be seated. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. I want to give an invitation. I want to make sure that nobody leaves this place without knowing where you're going to spend eternity. And so if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to pray a prayer, a simple prayer. And if you repeat that prayer, the Bible says if you repeat that prayer, you believe it in your heart, what you confess with your mouth, when you confess the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. So please, everybody, just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner. Therefore, I need a Savior. Say, Jesus, I believe today that you are a Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I also believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you served my sentence for my sin in hell, and God the Father miraculously and supernaturally raised you from the dead to live forever so that I could live forever with you. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to be Lord of my life. Come into my life. Change me. Do something with my life. I thank you. Forgive me of my sins. I confess you as Lord. I am born again. Hallelujah. Anybody pray that prayer for the first time? Anybody pray that prayer for the very first time? You don't have to be embarrassed. Praise God. You prayed that prayer for the first time? Yes. Praise the Lord. Another female, give her a hug. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, she getting two hugs. God loves you. I'm so glad you came today. We're so glad you came today. The Bible says that the angels are rejoicing over one person that comes to Christ and is going to join us in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have some information for you. Also, Talisa right here, she'll pray with you. If you don't mind, can you go with her? She'll pray with you if you want prayer, and she wants to give you some information. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Elder Clarence, he's going to lead us in tithes and offerings. I'll take your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. Wasn't that an awesome message this morning by our pastor? Amen. Glory to God. Awesome and on-time message. Glory to God. Well, this time, let's get ourselves ready, our hearts and minds ready for tithes and offering this morning. If you are in need of a tithes and offering envelope, pink envelope, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will come around now and give you that envelope. Also, this is Pastor Appreciation Day, and we appreciate our pastor. Amen. There's also a white envelope where you can sow a seed into your pastor this morning. Just raise your hand, and they'll make sure, the ushers will make sure that they also give you a white envelope. Amen. And this message this morning was, for me, was right on time, and time I was spending with the Lord for just, you know, what to read this morning from a scripture. And this is a perfect scripture just to go along with the message today. And that's coming from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to start reading from verse number 6. And I'm reading in the Amplified Version. It says, "Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessing may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessing." It says, "Let everyone give as he or she has made up in their own mind and purpose in their heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above all other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do giver whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always, under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing everything to require, no aid or support, and furnished in abundance in every good work and charitable donation. And as it is written, the benevolent person scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, and his deed of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and on forever. Amen." VW Ministry, can you please play other ways that we can give this morning?
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Amen. Just a reminder, this is also preparation for the food drive. There is a place on the pink envelopes that says outreach where you can give for the food drive. And also online under fun, if you're using the app, there's also for outreach that you can give this morning. Amen. And also a reminder, at the end of service, you can put the tithes and offering and the white envelopes in the black receptacle at the back of the sanctuary. Amen. Well, let us all rise and so we can read our tithes and offering confession this morning. Amen. Let us read together. It says, "We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of Scripture that protect those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to the tithe and get into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tithers' blessings, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tithers' blessings that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out a blessing we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal high priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of his blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families. In Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8, Amen. Glory to God. Father God, we just thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. We thank you for the powerful word that came for us this morning, oh dear Lord God. And we rebuke the spirit of lack or our poverty in our lives. We believe, oh dear Lord God, that we are going to receive an overflow blessing in our lives soon and very soon. Just raise your hands towards your giving this morning and say, see, I've sown you into good ground. Living Faith, my church is good ground. Now, seed, you go and grow and harvest. I call you back into my life, full and right, so that I can sow again, again, and again. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, Pastor Connie, I beg to differ because you do speak eloquently because you say what God says. That's eloquence. That's eloquence. We're not impressed by people's fancy words. We're impressed by the Word of God. Video ministry, will you please play the video announcements?
This is going to challenge you as a man more than anything you've ever done in your life.
Don't think of it as a battle you're just fighting for yourself.
It wasn't just for us. It was for our family.
You'll renew the structure of your mind. The way you think. When we realize trying harder is not going to work, and we understand grace, then all of a sudden we can start moving into sweet revenge.
And as I watch the Conquer series, I not only believe what they're saying is true, but I think it could be true for me.
It works. It's freeing men.
So we can be more than a conqueror for our daughters and for our sons.
Join us for the next of our Conqueror Series workshops on October 25th at 10 a.m. at Living Faith Christian Center as we step away from the noise to receive a powerful word from God to help us break free from sexual bondage once and for all. This is open to males 16 and older, ages 13 to 16 with parental consent. Invite a friend.
Attention, married couples. The Heirs Together Ministry invites you to join us for the next installment of our yearly workshop series, Understanding the Love Language of Your Spouse, Double Grace, based on the best-selling book by Dr. Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages. This insightful and engaging workshop will help you strengthen your marriage and deepen your connection with your spouse, all while learning practical tools for expressing love in meaningful ways. Whether you're newlyweds or have been married for years, this workshop has something for everyone. Mark your calendars. Register today. You can sign up through the link on our website or through social media platforms. Don't wait. There's no cost, but your RSVP is important so we can prepare for you. This workshop is open to all married couples who want to grow together in God's design for marriage. We can't wait to see you there and take this exciting step toward a stronger, more loving marriage.
Do you have a passion for audio and/or video production? Do you feel called to use your skills to serve in ministry? We are seeking dedicated volunteers to join our audio and video teams. If you're interested in contributing your talents to help enhance the excellence of our worship services, we would love to hear from you. Your gifts can make a difference in furthering the reach of our ministry. Visit our website and complete the form. For more information, contact Minister Alan Wilkins at 856-661-8110.
Have you noticed something new in LFCC's sanctuary and foyer? The new tap dots are our newest point of contact, a way for you to keep up to date with what's going on at LFCC. And all you have to do is tap. Nothing to download or install. Find events, visit our new website and social media pages. You can also give electronically. And all you have to do is tap. Try it today.
Amen. We had an excellent marriage workshop last month via Zoom. And we'll have it again this month, as you saw via Zoom. So please, if you're a married couple, please don't hesitate to join us. And I'm sure we'll be back in person probably the following month. Amen. The annual food drive will take place on Saturday, November the 15th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you need food, please complete an application. You can do that online at the website at lfccnj.com or by scanning the QR code in the lobby or completing the application located in the sanctuary foyer. And don't forget that all applications are due no later than October 29th so that you can give the church a chance to prepare for the families that we'll be serving. And then, ladies, on Saturday, November the 8th at 10 a.m. at Impact Live Church, formerly Impacting Your World, where Pastor Ray and Tracy Bernard are pastors, our own pastor, Constance McLean, will be ministering at their women's workshop. Amen. We are excited. And please, ladies, as many of you that can join to support our pastor, please, please come out. It's an honor to that other people are acknowledging the gift of God that we may take for granted. Amen. So let's not do that. Let's support her. And then right now, we do have a special video presentation.
Pastor Connie, we truly love and appreciate you. I'm just grateful for 40 years of ministry and what you've meant to this church, this community, the parishioners, and just these youth. And Pastor, we love you. We respect you. It's an honor to serve under you, and we truly love and appreciate you. Thank you, Pastor.
I really appreciate you, Pastor Connie, because you're a great pastor, where it's influenced my life. And just keep being you.
I love Pastor Connie because some of the things that she preaches in the main church, it, me and my family relates to it.
Pastor Connie, I just want to say I appreciate you for everything that you do. And we are motivated by you. And we get inspired by you through every message that you give us.
I'm thankful for Pastor Connie because she was the next to be able to be at them.
She has helped me persevere through so much, not just in church, but in school and in my other things.
She always gets her message across in her preachings, and she's such a great pastor.
I love you, and I appreciate you, and I'm so grateful that I get to be a part of 40 years of ministry. And I just want to say, you are so loved and so appreciated.
My wife and I would like to thank you for your wisdom and all your knowledge. We appreciate all you do for us and being here for us, and we love you.
You are one lady of virtue, one that continues to step forward. Despite of all that hits you, you just step right on it as another step onto the next level. You're graced with God's power, and every time you speak, it's all truth. Truth of His word, truth of His grace. And I truly believe that God's word is just pouring into you. Like pure wine, His wine. I call you blessed, favored, and anointed to just continue guiding this church. Que Dios te bendiga y te continúe ungiendo en su bendición. Amen.
We love and appreciate you, Pastor God.
And I like you because you teach us life lessons that we should learn about. And we're kids, so we should learn how to do stuff. We don't like end up like being a bad influence. And I like you because you're really a good person, and you teach us a lot of things about like how we should like be good people.
I want to say I appreciate Pastor Connie for how funny she is and how relatable her preaches are during service.
Serving today too. Thank you so much. That blessed me. Praise God. And thanks again for being here with me and being my church family. Obviously, I couldn't do this without you, and hopefully you can't do what you're doing without me. So, but I appreciate being appreciated. Amen? All right. Great video, Brian. Thank you. Yep. Do we have any first-time attenders? Any first-time attenders today? Yeah? You too? One? You? Okay. Praise God. Thank you so much for coming. You can come back anytime. It's so great to have you this morning. I pray that you were blessed by something, the worship, the word, or, you know, the video. But everybody tell us, welcome to Living Faith Christian Center. Yay. Come back again. Praise God. At the same time, is there anybody here, you've been coming to Living Faith and you have decided to make Living Faith your church home? Anybody you want to make Living Faith your church home? Anyone? 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 I won't embarrass you. You can just raise your hand if that's anybody. Okay. I think that's it, everybody. Praise the Lord. Any games today? Yeah? Oh, of course. That was a dumb question. Except for last week. Eagles for Eagles people. Sorry. Anyway. All right. You ready to go home? Amen. You don't have to go home, but you got to get out of here. Just kidding. Hang around for a little while. Praise the Lord. Thanks again, everybody, for your cards and gifts and words of appreciation. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we thank you for all that you've prepared for us since before the foundation of the world. Father, we thank you that we're here on purpose and for purpose. Father, we thank you that you left none of us out. You have a good plan for our lives and our families. Father, we thank you. We look forward to learning more about you, meditating on the Word of God, experiencing increase in every area of our lives. Father, we also thank you that you've spoken over all of us. You spoke the blessing over us. So we agree with you, God, and we say that we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envied. If you don't agree with that, say I'm blessed. Love you. Mwah.